Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the Epiphany of our Lord. This morning our guest pastor, Pastor James Dalkey, will speak on the sermon topic, The Glory of the Church, based on Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. And Sam and Mary Yokely sponsored our radio broadcast on December 30th in celebration of an honor of J.C. Vogelsmeyer's 96th birthday, which was on December 30th. Thank you for honoring J.C.'s lifetime of service and devotion to Christ. And by sharing his word with others, we wish J.C. many more days filled with joy. Mrs. Judy Tufel will be at the piano, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Certainly welcome all of you to our divine service today, also to those who are listening on the radio. We welcome them also. I'm Pastor Jim Dalkey, recently moved to Seward, Nebraska, and here on behalf of our Haiti mission work that my wife and I do, look forward to Bible class and the opportunity to present at that time. Our opening hymn is hymn 399. We are following Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203. Again, Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm is Psalm 72. If you turn to the front part of your hymnal, we'll read the first 11 verses by half verse. Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise. Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. Glory be to you, Lord. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. It's in the back of the hymnal or on page 206. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both. His kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon hymn is hymn 411. Be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning on this Epiphany Sunday is from the Old Testament reading, verse 1 of chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Today is somewhat of a special Sunday in the church year. Usually Epiphany falls sometime during the week and not on a day of divine service, but this year it's today the Epiphany season begins. Epiphany itself means to reveal or show something, and so over the next several Sundays, as we sang in that first hymn, Jesus will be revealing himself as both true God and true man. God in the flesh, as we just celebrated in Christmas time. He's going to do those through a series of events, again, which we've sung about, through the baptism, or through his baptism in the Jordan River, through the first recorded miracle at the wedding of Cana, to the preaching that he does in Nazareth about the promised Messiah, and then telling them that this prophecy was fulfilled in their presence that very day. We'll hear about Jesus casting out demons, healing many of their illnesses and diseases, including Simon's mother-in-law. So he's going to reveal his glory even on that last Sunday before we begin the Lenten season. He's transfigured before those three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Glory is the word I want to zero in on from that first verse, a very significant part of the Christmas season now ended. We think of the glorious angel with that glorious message that sent shepherds seeking the Christ child and found him wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. It was the glorious light, as we heard in the gospel for today, of a star that led the wise men to seek and worship and bring gifts to this newborn king. And in finding the true light of the world, whether shepherds or wise men or Jews or Gentiles, recalling the epistle for today, we are able by grace through faith to see the one who would have darkness give way to light, fear give way to joy, and ignorance give way to faith. Isaiah wrote these words of the Old Testament lesson 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And he's really describing what happened on those first two occasions in Bethlehem. But for you today, think about this. What happened there was not just for believing shepherds or worshiping wise men from the east. What happened there is for all of us, for the church of all time. And it's a very poetic text that we have from Isaiah today, and God is simply picturing the glory of his church. And that's what I want to spend my time today with, talking about the head of the church, talking about the extent of that church, and then the blessings that God has given to his church. Isaiah, he lived at a time when the church could not be called glorious at all. He wrote, in fact, in many verses of impending darkness. He tells God's people that they will be taken off into captivity. He tells them that the temple, which is the very place of God's presence among his people, would be destroyed. And all of that wealth and all of that influence under Kings David and Solomon, that would be replaced with utter desolation. We know that God foretold that they would return to the promised land, but they would never again experience the freedom they had prior to their captivity. Those 700 years in between Isaiah and the New Testament, Chaldeans, Greeks, Romans, all of them would take turns at ruling over Israel. And so that glory of Israel, at least the physical glory, no longer existed. Certainly not politically, and certainly not spiritually. So Isaiah speaks, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Isaiah also offers, and here's the good news, hope and rescue. His opening words again tell us to arise and shine, for your light has come. Almost as if we're in Bethlehem. We're on those hills surrounding Bethlehem. We're listening with the shepherds to that glorious message of the promised Messiah arriving. It's as if Isaiah is with the wise men and they're following that light of the star to where that baby lay. In the darkness and the despair of captivity and desolation, Isaiah cried out, "Arise." We all know the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. We are blessed by God that we can look back over those centuries of God's grace, and we can know exactly what and who Isaiah speaks of. We sang about it in our sermon hymn. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the one who leads us from the darkness of sin to the bright light of His forgiveness. Jesus brings light to the darkness of what we know to be a sinful, dying world. And He rescues us from the despair of our sin, from death, and allows us to shine into our lives and into the lives of others the hope and the life that is ours through Him. That's the glory of the church. Sin plunges us into the darkness of spiritual night, and Jesus Christ, through a sinless life that He lived for us and a sacrificial death that He died for us, now rescues us. Fast forward, if you will, to Good Friday, when Jesus spoke the words, "It is finished," which means that the mission of Christ to save people, all people, from their sins is accomplished, and that forgiveness and salvation belongs to all of us. So this morning, if you're feeling helpless, realize that Jesus is a very present help in time of trouble. If you're feeling hopeless, realize that Jesus is the one who not only promises to be present with us, but He provides the certainty of such presence in word and in sacrament. If for any reason you're wandering around through life with no purpose or direction, it's Jesus who says to you, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." If you're feeling alone, Jesus is the one who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," who promises that "I am with you always." Are you laboring perhaps under the burden and the pressure of life? Jesus is the one who says to you, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." If you're facing the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is the one who assures you, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Very simply again, Christ is the glory of the church, and He's your glory with who you are. Real people, real problems, and best of all, a real Savior. By His grace, He has shined into your lives. By His blood-bought sacrifice, He's forgiven your sins. In the waters of your baptism, He has placed His name upon you and you are His. And in this meal that we know to be a foretaste of the feast to come, you receive Him, His true body, His true blood. Later in Isaiah, he writes these words, "The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Think for a moment about the extent of that. Each of you being members of the church, and then the extent of the church. At the birth of Jesus, we have Mary and Joseph, right? Soon, lowly shepherds were there. Sometime after that, wise men from the east arrived, and they all came for the one purpose of bowing down the knee to that newborn king. They came to pay him homage and worship the baby of Bethlehem, but most of the world probably just went on their merry way. And yet, looking ahead again, Isaiah sees what? Nations coming to the light. We can see that, again in hindsight, multitudes of people, every race, every color, from every corner of the earth, just recently again came to Bethlehem, didn't they? Through the preaching of the good news, through the witness of the church, through the confession of Christ in word and deed, you get to be that light that shines the light of Christ into people's lives. You get to let people know that light shines in the darkness, that light dispels the darkness, that the one who conquered the darkness has now brought immortality and life to light. We sing at Christmas time, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And in Revelation, we read about that throne room in heaven and who surrounds that throne. A great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. You, each of you, fellow believers in Christ, are part of that picture. Because by God's grace, the bringing of the good news has been brought to each of you. That last aspect of the church is to think about the blessings, to be blessed again in the light for that duration of everlasting time. Isaiah 60, again, "Thy people shall possess the land forever." Physical Israel, as I mentioned earlier, was conquered several times. Physical Jerusalem was laid to waste several times. In the history of the world, great kingdoms have come and gone. Earthly institutions have risen and fallen. Isaiah tells us the church will exist forever. And Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Again in chapter 60, these words from Isaiah, "I will make peace your overseers, and righteousness your taskmaster. You will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise. Your days of mourning shall be ended." In those promises, there are no worldly treasures. They're all treasures that moth and rust will destroy. We have in Christ eternal treasures. We have peace in the midst of daily battles with the devil, the world, and our flesh. We have peace that fortifies us against an accusing conscience that's with us in the day of trouble. We have peace that's won for us, and it's a peace that the world cannot in any way give. You heard again the pronouncement from God through the lips of this pastor, "Your sins are forgiven. You now stand righteous before the Lord." Not our weak, unreliable, failed attempts at being righteous, but we wear the very robes of Christ because of our baptism, and we have that holy, perfect righteousness of Christ to wear. Again, it means there are no sins to be held against you. There are no battles that are really lost, but every battle is a victory in Christ. And the end to it all is salvation, an eternity of joy and bliss with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This Epiphany season is going to reveal that kind of glory, the glory of Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. And in seeing Christ, we see the glory of the church. And remember, that's each and every one of you, Jew and Gentile alike. To all eternity, you have God's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So, in the words of Isaiah, fellow believers in Christ, I say to you, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We'll now collect the offering. As we do, if you'll please sign the register. We rise for prayer. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, you have revealed to us your Son, Jesus Christ, through our celebration of the Christmas season as true God and true man. As this Epiphany season begins today and unfolds before us over the next several weeks, again, reveal to us that this Son of Man and Son of God is truly the promised Messiah, the one sent to save people from their sins, our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus Christ, for all he did to us in his perfect life and in his sacrificial death, that we might truly know in our hearts and minds through faith that Jesus is true God and true man, and in him there is forgiveness, life, and salvation. Bless us during this Epiphany season to your glory and to our good. Amen. Lord our God, we acknowledge your great goodness toward us, and we praise you for the mercy and grace that our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have known. As always, we sincerely repent of our sins, sins of this day and sins of the past, and ask for pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Inscribe upon our hearts your law and equip us to serve you with holy and blameless lives. May each day remind us of the coming of the night when no one can work, and in the emptiness of this present age, keep us united by a living faith through the power of your Holy Spirit, with him who is the light of the world, who is the resurrection and the life, that we may escape the eternal pains of condemnation. Keep us this day and every day under your protective care and preserve us, securely trusting in your everlasting goodness and love, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. We continue on page 208 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
death for all your sins.
Thank you. his true body and true blood strengthen and preserve you of the true faith.
We rise and continue on page 211 with the Nunc Dimittis.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with hymn 409.